Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half, like, cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Could you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks and Broncos podcast with a West Coast bias. Coming at you today from a sunny Missoula, Montana, I'm your co-host, Adam Emmert. Across the table from me is the man who I have heard is the master of being a plus one wedding date, Jared Tim. How are you today, buddy?
I'm good. I don't know about a master of it, but I had a pretty good time at an outdoor wedding.
By all accounts, you're a master.
This weekend, I had a pretty good time. And, you know, I'm not really one to go to weddings, but fuck, dude, it's fun, man.
Yeah. Open bar, what could go wrong?
It was awesome. Up in Butte.
Yeah.
Homestake Pass. It was good.
Where all the trees are dead from beetle kill.
You know, this area wasn't so bad yet, but goddamn, it's horrible up there.
Yeah.
It needs a burn.
Pretty rough.
Needs a burn.
Well, folks, it's great to be with you today. Just to start out, the beer we're drinking today, and we'll get into a heavier review here in the middle of the podcast, is the Madison River Brewing Company's beer, Salmon Fly Honey Rye. It's very tasty. Check us out in the middle of the podcast, and we'll have a review for you on that.
Only if you want to know what good beer tastes like.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a tasty beer. This is one of my personal favorites for the summer. But with that said here, Jared, I'm excited. I'm fired up for this episode because we have football to talk about, man.
We're starting with the Broncos.
And we are.
So that's always a better podcast.
It's a podcast when we do it that way,
it's
for sure.
Better.
I'm not putting a value statement on that one way or the other. Better.
Now,
or
it is nice now that we have actual live football to talk about.
Oh, man.
You know, instead of just all that you see from training camp and everything that everybody's hearing or saying or whatever, now we actually got to watch it and decipher for ourselves.
Oh yeah.
Now everybody in this country's got an opinion about football, and so do we.
Yeah. Only ours is the most right. So anyway,
it's reliable.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're starting out today with a little bit of donkey spit. Jared, we watched that game. What stood out to you right out of the gate?
Right out of the gate, I think the first concern that actually popped up to me, right when we started the game, on that first defensive drive, we were giving up runs to the outside left and right. Like, it was no big deal. You know, Von Miller over-pursued, then he missed the coverage. But guys were just a little jittery. You know, I mean, it's a concern, but it's not something I think is going to be a problem throughout the year. You know, this was preseason defensive drive numero uno. So,
sure.
I don't think it was too bad, but we over-pursued, and we got a lot of speed on defense. So, I didn't really understand why we were doing that, but, man, we were giving up a lot to the outside.
Well, and LaMichael James is fast. I mean,
he's fast.
If he's going to get somewhere, it's going to be to the outside.
But he's containable.
Yeah.
You know, is what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, he did look pretty good. Colin Kaepernick also looked all right. But
Colin Kaepernick looked huge.
Dude,
he looked way bigger.
Yeah, he is a little bit bigger, and he was still pretty accurate on his throws.
Yeah, that
You know, and he was running to the right side and threw across his body. It was impressive, but, you know, I mean, That was my first concern, was our
run
to the outside.
So you got a little carved up on that first drive.
A little bit. You know, we didn't give up anything up the middle, and especially across the 50-yard line, we really tightened up, and then we held them to a field goal. So I think once the jitters were away, we felt comfortable in the team we were playing. You know, this is the first team that anybody's really played other than themselves. So they're going to be throwing different looks at you, things you've never seen. Of course, you're going to be amped up and ready to go. You know, this is the first real action you're seeing. So I think we really settled down after that, and, you know, we only gave up 61 rushing yards in the game.
Wow,
and
really?
A lot of them were on that first drive.
Yeah, because it felt like more than
that.
It felt
like more, but only 61 throughout the rest of the game. So I really feel pretty good about the way our defense kind of settled into the scheme. They didn't over pursue, and, you know, Duke Iheanacho was all over the place.
The Duke!
He had 7 solo tackles. He led the team.
Half cowboy, half Japanese, getting it done out there.
This guy was blowing everything up, man. He impressed just like everybody wanted him to. You know, because they always talk about these players who play great in training camp, and yeah, they're lighting it up. How are they going to do once the first game time action comes? And he just completely lit it up.
He did. He actually really flashed. That's one of the people that that I noticed, you know, as somebody who's not exactly a Broncos fan per se, where I'm sitting down and, like, I know every guy inside and out. As an outside observer, he really flashed. And
he did.
Really,
and I mean, there were a couple times where we were watching the game, it's just like, who was that? And bam, it was Duke.
Duke.
You know, David Bruton had a couple more of those plays. He's out there just pounding people.
Bruton hits.
Yeah, he does. And I'm really glad we signed him to an extension, even if it is just in special teams, because he's all over the field, and he's just one of those clutch guys you want, because you know he's not going to make mistakes.
Yeah, he brought the boom.
Yeah, another solid backup at the safety position.
Yeah.
What else? One of the things that concerned me also was our offensive line depth. When you saw when our second teamers and third teamers were in there, Brock was running for his life.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have any time whatsoever. There was no communication. We still ran the ball somewhat effectively.
Right.
But that was largely in part because CJ Anderson was killing it out there.
True.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the stars that I saw. He's definitely earning himself a spot. He carried the ball 15 times in a preseason game.
Name that Anderson Bronco running back, you know?
Everybody wants to compare him to Mike Anderson, but it's just the name. He's not even close to the size or the style of play.
No, just he's just
another Anderson in the backfield.
He's just one number off. That's the big difference.
But he played well. I mean, we saw him make a couple of cuts that were pretty decisive and pretty shifty. You know, he's not a real powerful guy, but he made those second and third team offensive linemen look a lot better than they did. It was a real concern.
Well, you would imagine that your second and third team offensive line would struggle a bit, especially considering the offensive line injuries that you've had coming into this game. So your depth there's not quite as stacked as it was, you know, going into training camp. So, you know, as people get a little healthier and things along that line, you're gonna be fine there.
Yeah, we can only increase the numbers. I mean, Chris Cooper's even back in practice.
Oh, right.
J.D.
Yeah.
Walton's supposed to be back end of October. Yeah, that's still right on target. Right, Lilja played like 41 snaps last game in a preseason game.
Holy cow.
That's pretty big time for a guy who said he's not in game shape yet.
Did that match his age?
He's only 31.
Oh, really?
He had a knee and a toe injury, and that's what forced him to retire. But then he felt all right, and he had a chance to compete, so he's like, sure, I'll play.
He must use Just For Men Touch of Gray then, because he's got a lot of gray in that
hair. It's that antler spray he's using. He's just fine, you know?
Right,
he's all right.
Oh, you gotta love it. You know, if deer antler spray works that well, I've always had a theory that elk antler spray would work even better. Yeah, it's larger.
What would moose antler spray work? How do you think that would work?
I don't know. You'd probably just be better in the water.
You'd be real aggressive, too.
That's what swimmers use. Yeah, but what you need is Wolverine spray. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That would be the big, you trample over people to crow flies.
I think that's what Duke Iheanacho uses.
Oh, he's A to B.
Yeah.
A to B.
He's huge.
But, you know, another concern of mine, I suppose, would be kind of the middle section of our linebackers in coverage. You know, Vaughn did a good job. Danny Trevathan's great in coverage as a linebacker.
Yeah.
But Stuart Bradley, a little questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he's a pretty decent run stopper, but his coverage, you know, he had a couple plays where he was good, but then there were some where you just didn't think he was quite up to speed.
He just can't move like he used to.
You know, he's got two ACL injuries.
Yeah.
You can't really expect to be that quick, but he is a smart guy, and if we have to play him, it's almost like a Keith Brooking at this point.
Sure.
You know, he's not your first option out there, I don't feel.
But he's not your last.
He's not your last.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he did a fair job. I would grade him kind of as fair if I had to.
Sure. Maybe like a C+.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But Nate Irving, he's a thumper, man. This dude is built like a brick shit house.
I like this guy.
Oh, yeah. He's second or third, I can't remember. We've been grooming him to be our middle linebacker.
Sure.
And so that's why we didn't bring Keith Brooking back. We were just like, this is the guy we're grooming to be our starter.
Right.
And he was thumping pretty good. But again, his pass coverage lacked a little bit in my books. I would give him maybe a B-.
Okay.
Or a B.
But
maybe
you were
right in that area.
Sure.
So it's good for your first preseason game. I'm not unsatisfied with it. It's just, it's an area that I hope they improve on a little bit.
If you had nits to pick, that would be them.
You know, I don't have a lot.
Yeah.
Even if you look at our game stats for the 49ers, you know, we had more first downs.
Yeah.
We had more total plays, which that was one of our emphasis in offseason with Adam Gase coming in. He's like, we want to run as many plays as possible.
Right.
And we ran more than the Niners. So I thought that was a plus.
You know, one thing that I found interesting when I was watching the game, something that stood out to me was the use of the pistol formation.
We did use that quite a bit.
I don't recall seeing that once last year out of you guys.
We didn't run it last year, and you guys were really one of the only teams. You guys were kind of the ones that started it, right?
I would almost give the Redskins more credit on that.
Okay.
But maybe even the 49ers.
And let's explain the pistol formation in case people don't really know what we're talking about.
Oh, no, that's great, yeah.
It's basically a shotgun formation. It's less distance, though, in the shotgun.
Yeah, basically. Think of your quarterback in the shotgun formation with the back to one side or the other of him, right off his left shoulder or his right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of that, you have the quarterback about half that distance and the back lining up behind him, almost as if the quarterback is lined up where the fullback would be.
Yeah, it's like an I formation almost. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's highly effective, though.
I really like it. And
I think the teams are going to start running it pretty soon.
It's pretty great. And I think, especially for Peyton Manning, I think this is a very lethal formation for you guys. So instead of having to run those kind of draw type runs out of the shotgun with Peyton when he audibles to a run or something on that level, you hand it off to the back now, and he's got a step and a half of speed coming towards the line as if he's coming, you know, out of an I formation or something like that.
That's exactly what I was just thinking about. You know, instead of hiking the ball all the way back. I don't know the yardage depth that they're normally at in a shotgun formation, but it seems like it's up about 2.5 yards, 2 to 2.5 yards.
Yeah.
And so the amount of time that the ball's in the air for the snap is less. And from the time, like just like you said, from the time the ball is snapped, the running back's already going. So you take a lot of time off of that exchange,
sure.
And it kind of gives you a jump on the defensive formation.
You know, one thing I hadn't thought about to this very instant until you just brought it up was the time that it takes for the ball to travel from center to the quarterback is lesser than in the shotgun. And with that said, can you imagine how much easier it is to hit like a quick slant against a blitz or something along those lines?
Where, that's a good point, too.
Where you're having to run to a hot read or something like that. Because even if you're under center and you're taking the snap,
you still need to take a couple snaps back.
You got to take 2 or 3 steps back. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't run as fast as the ball can fly. So I would think...
I don't think so.
That's just the speed of football. And so basically, I think it's a very, very versatile formation.
It's awesome. I'm really surprised that it hadn't come out until now.
Well, it was something that was literally invented just over the last few years at Nevada. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, huh?
With Colin Kaepernick's college coach. Yeah. Well, give him some credit. I mean, yeah, I love innovation. And,
this is just one of those formations where it just seems like it makes perfect sense to run it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So for a lot of plays.
Peyton looked good out of the pistol.
He did.
And Brock looked really good.
Yeah,
out of the pistol.
Brock was one of those things where I was just like, man, this is, if I've seen an upside in this game besides Duke, this is the one, man. He was decisive. He was getting rattled back there. I mean, like we talked about before, the offensive line was not holding up for him when he was in the game. Mm-hmm. But he was making quick decisions. He made a throw to Julius Thomas out on the right sideline. That was my favorite play of the game. He hit him full, right in the hands, up above his head to where only Julius Thomas could get this ball. You know, Julius Thomas is 6'5". He's an animal.
He was accurate. He was decisive. I think the play that really stood out to me as far as just Brock in his the evolution of his game, he rolled out of the pocket left, got outside the pocket, outside the numbers. So he's running left, squares his shoulders, and I don't remember who he completes the pass to or even how long it was. But
I
just
think it was
throws
Virgil Green.
Yeah, that's right. And he just threw an absolute strike rolling left as a right-handed quarterback. Yeah. As a big guy, I mean.
And that's tough to get your body control out there like
that. That's a really difficult task.
That was one of the first throws that he made. You know, he went 13-18 for 105 yards in the game. You know, he wasn't going deep. He wasn't getting a lot of yards. That was, I think, a lot because he had to make these quick reads because he didn't have time to sit back there.
Absolutely didn't have
and
the time.
And he had to scramble a couple of times. You know, one of the scrambles looked really good. You know, you fear that a 6'8 guy is just going to get teed off on. But,
right?
You know, he makes his body work for him, you know, the best that he can.
His accuracy impressed me. It's definitely better than last year. And his decision-making above that. I thought that was light years ahead of the games that I watched him in last year.
Well, you can even see in his mechanics, you know, he was throwing the ball sidearm when he came out of Arizona State. So that was one of the main things that George Knapp and Adam Gase wanted to work with him on.
Right.
Is coming over the top because it's a faster delivery and it's more accurate.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him throw a sidearm throw the entire game. Maybe I missed one, I don't know, but I didn't see it. And so what they were thinking was going to happen is he's going to revert back to those old habits because people do that, you know, when they're being brought up and groomed to do something. But he didn't do it once that I saw.
Interesting.
And so I think he's got a good ability to learn and to progress. And so I think that's exactly what he's doing. So
yeah.
I like it.
I mean, he's the future of the Broncos franchise. If you had any doubts going into this game, I would think that they are erased by now.
I think we're a little bit easier. And he didn't turn the ball over.
No. He looked sharp, just sharp all the way around. Now, one question I had for you, you know, we talked about C.J. Anderson a little bit earlier.
Yep.
So, as you look at your running back core here, is it going to be C.J. Anderson or Lance Ball, the last guy, odd man out? You know what I mean? That guy in the
bubble. Well, at this point, Lance Ball is out because he does not have practice squad eligibility anymore.
Oh!
So, that's going to be the factor. That's why he's probably going to be out. C.J. Anderson, A, he's a rookie. He played a great game. He's been doing really well in camp. And he's also got practice squad eligibility.
That's
and
cool.
Lance Ball, it's either you're on the 53-man roster or you're done.
Right.
And so do you want to put him ahead of Ronnie Hillman, Noshon Moreno,
Monte Ball?
Do you put him ahead of those guys? I don't think you do. So I like Lance Ball, but unfortunately I think he's the guy that's gone.
Yeah, and, you know, it might just be time for that. He is a
yep.
a guy that doesn't really stand out in any way, but solid.
He's solid. Yeah, he does. He gets you exactly what you need him to. You know, he's a backup running back. He's a solid backup. I think he'll get picked up somewhere if we let him go, though.
I would guarantee he gets picked up somewhere.
I just hope he's one of the first guys we let go so that he has a solid chance. You know, because he's never complained about anything. He's just done what he's done his job. He's done everything we've asked him to, so.
The New York Jets could use him.
Yeah, New York Jets could use a lot of things.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I just chose them because they can use every single position.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, they're a nightmare.
Dumpster fire.
So let's see. What else did I want to talk about? So, we rushed the ball for 117 yards, which wasn't too bad. I'd like to see some more because we do want to run the ball a little bit more. But, you know, that was
fair. But you're trying different things. You're trying different formations. You're trying to see different guys in different situations to get an assessment on them. So you're not going to be running your offense as if it were a game day game plan.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. One of the things that I was impressed by, and I know that in the preseason you're not running every single play in your playbook, and a lot of guys will get confused and they'll be penalized just because there's so much shit to think about.
Sure.
But we were only penalized 4 times. And with the amount of young guys that we have in there, with the amount of free agents that we have in there, and guys that we've had to piece together in our O-line, I think to get away with the first preseason game and only have 4 penalties was pretty good.
Yeah, one thing that I came away with after watching that game was – the Broncos were very disciplined. They really didn't have it wasn't a sloppy game for you guys.
No. Nope.
Very tight.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of that is because of John Fox and Jack Del Rio. You know, the discipline is their main thing. And so penalties weren't a big concern for us last year, and I'm happy to say they won't be this year.
Yeah, Pete Carroll rolls a little differently on that. And it showed up. Yeah, we'll get to that here in a bit. Yeah.
The other thing was we didn't turn the ball over and we had 4 takeaways. I like that.
Oh yeah,
that's a good ratio. Anytime you're plus on the turnover ratio, I think you're doing pretty good.
It's all about the ball.
It's all about the ball. You got to have the ball.
Yeah.
So let's see. You know, we talked about Julius Thomas.
He looked good.
He did look good. There was a couple of things that he did. He missed 2 really crucial blocks. One, where he didn't seal off. I think it was C.J. Spillman, and Monty Ball lost a yard because it was just bam, just drilled him. Because he just whiffed on a block.
So. Going into this preseason game with Julius Thomas, was blocking a concern with him coming in? Or was that something?
You know, it wasn't much of a concern. It was one of those things we...
just happened.
We were looking to develop him in.
Sure.
You know, because he was a basketball player. He only played football for 1 year before he came to the NFL and just was injury prone.
So he's not an expert blocker now?
Not yet, you know?
Really?
You would think that one game and one reception would make you a solid blocker, but it hasn't.
Jared, I played center in 7th grade tackle football.
I'm a solid blocker.
I should be able to come in and be at least a solid number 2 long snapper.
Have you seen these defensive players move?
I have. So, and I would be dead in 3.2 seconds.
These guys are unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
So, but the other block that he missed, and this is something that you just cannot do.
Yeah.
It was that 4th and 1 that we had inside the red zone. We went for it. He missed the block, which created the domino effect, which stopped C.J. Anderson before the first down marker. And so those were 2 crucial blocks that he missed. But he didn't miss any others that I saw. You know, he had a couple really good blocks that sprung C.J. Anderson for 17 yards, you know?
Sure.
And so I think that was good and bad.
So a little up and down.
Yeah. But in his interview after the game, the first thing he said was, he goes, I missed a couple blocks. I know I need to work on that, and I am, and blah, blah, blah. So that was the first thing he addressed. He knew he'd done it. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. He had 4 catches for 35 yards.
Solid.
Yeah.
That's productive.
Yeah, but that's all from the 49ers game that I wanted to touch on.
Sure.
Just a couple of quick little notes. Chris Cooper's back in full pads.
Yeah.
He's working into it. He said he's not in great game shape yet. We actually even had him making a couple snaps to Peyton Manning. Yeah, this is a guy out of North Dakota. That's where he went to college. So
yeah.
I like him.
Well,
he was a captain. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And so at this point, since he's not on the PUP list,
right?
Either he makes the roster or he doesn't. Now that he's in full pads.
Now, I've heard a few people in some rumblings saying that they don't think he's going to make the roster.
That's kind of what they were hinting at a long time ago, too. Even before training camp had even started, they're like, Chris Cooper might just be the odd man out. But with the injuries, do you just keep him on your roster and nurse him back to health? You know, I think the injury factor might play a little part of it.
Sure.
But then again, I don't see his progress. I don't know how he's doing. So I can't give too much of a prediction on that.
Sure. I mean, with that being the case, I look at your guys' offensive line, and that's obviously where you guys have been hit with the most injuries this year.
Definitely.
So I would be more inclined to keep a guy that you know can actually play, and maybe he just needs a few weeks to get healthy. You know, in the meantime, you have your starters that are, you know, out there playing.
Yeah.
He can heal up. If something does happen, you know, you were saying in the last pod that, you know, you're getting close to being one injury away from, you know, having to scramble a bit.
From being oh fuck stage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. DEFCON oh fuck.
Yeah.
And so I would say I would be more inclined to keep him and say maybe, you know, cut a Quentin Jammer or somebody along
those
lines.
Yeah, something like that where we're super deep. That's what is that give and take on which one you sacrifice another position for.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, Chris Cooper's injuries, it was a forearm. Was his last one last year. He broke his forearm, so he's out. That's not incredibly essential. You know, it's mainly your hips, your knees, and your shoulders.
Sure.
And your back for an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And the other one was, you know, he's had two surgeries on his ankle, which, thank God, it's not a knee.
Yeah.
So an ankle can heal, and you can wrap that shit up tight like a fucking brick, and you can still play on it. So,
yeah, unless you're Grant Hill.
Unless you're Grant Hill. That's basketball. That's different.
That's way different.
And so I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, and played well.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad that ankle problem is going to hinder what he's going to try and do as far as his recovery effort, but hopefully it's not too bad. The last thing is you and I have talked about this actually quite a bit. I'm not going to bore people with it, but this contract extension of Britton Colquitt, I love it, man.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a fucking weapon, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Man, having him in the kicking game, it was monumental last year to change field position. We were pinning guys inside the 10-yard line quite often.
So
we even did it this last game against 49ers in the preseason.
You locked your Colquitt down.
We did. We got our Colquitt.
Okay.
You know, and this is funny to me because I think the kicking game is just underrated in football nowadays. And, you know, the Raiders got Sebastian Janikowski for like $4 million a year for the next 5 years or some shit like that. That is a bargain.
It is a bargain. Considering
holy crap.
Yeah, considering just, you know, the field position game as well as just having a guy that can boom at 65 yards, you know, if in desperation. I think people overlook special teams a lot. We've kind of held off on talking a lot of special teams on the
pod. It's not a sexy topic.
A lot of people, but it is a third of the game, and
it is.
And it's something that's gigantic.
And it can do a lot for momentum, too. You get a big return or a big – or, you know, you kick a touchback so the return guys don't get a big return. You know, you pin a guy inside the five-yard line.
Yeah.
Those are big-time swings, and, you know, we talked about it earlier. It's only a matter of time before Janikowski hits a 75-yarder.
It's got to happen.
They've got to just let him heave it, dude. Just let him. If you're down in a game, just fucking let him boot it. You know he can. You know he's got that range.
Look, you're not making the playoffs, Oakland Raiders.
No.
Let us – give us the joy of – a Seabass bomb from like 70 yards.
I want to see a 70-yarder attempted, man, and it goddamn better be before he stops kicking those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a while because he's got the leg. He's going to play till he's 50.
Look,
you know?
If Hauschka can hit the crossbar at 61 yards in a preseason game, Seabass can hit a 70-yarder in a regular
with one
season.
Step.
Yeah.
I mean, when he hurt his hamstring for that little bit,
don't
you know, most
no,
of these
mind.
Kickers are taking 7 to 9 steps to get this ball down to the end zone. Sebastian Janikowski takes 2 steps, and
boom.
He's drilling through the uprights with his new kick. It's just, he's ridiculous. So
that's
my rant. Thank God we got Britton Colquitt for a while. You know, we got Matt Prater for a while.
Yeah.
We're good in the kicking game. And other than that, you know,
so that's,
we'll just let the next game come through and see what we have
so
to talk
speaking
about.
Speaking of the next game, Jared.
Yeah.
It is Broncos versus Seahawks.
It is Broncos Seahawks.
In the clink.
This is like the preseason it's climax, I guess, if you want to say for us.
Yeah, that's a little dirty for me, but I'll but I can almost go with that. But the only thing that's
fuck
worse
you.
The only thing that's worse than us watching a game of our teams versus one another at home is us watching it in one of our stadiums.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be rough. So
don't worry, guys,
question,
I'm gonna bring my Broncos shit and I'm gonna rock it.
Okay, you just answered my first question.
There it is.
My first question was, are you coming dressed in Broncos attire?
Hell yeah, dude.
Okay, good for you.
Why would I not? How could I not?
I don't know. I mean,
Broncos pride is strong in this one.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Now, coming into this game, you know, after watching the first preseason game, kind of hearing what's been going on in camp between the game and now, what are you looking forward to in this game to see, you know, specifically in person, in live action?
I am looking forward to see how quickly we can recover on play action.
Because
the Seahawks run play action, you know, better than anyone in the NFL.
Almost all the time on every pass play.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things, but when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, you can do that on every play, and it's effective because people don't know what the fuck he's going to do.
Yeah.
And so, like I talked about before, it was our linebackers and coverage, which I was worried about, and that over-pursuing.
Yeah.
And that's the Seahawks are a team that could really exploit that. You know, whether they do in the preseason, I don't know. You guys aren't going to worry about our defense. You're going to try and run your offensive plays. You don't give a shit what we're giving you. You don't care.
Yeah, and it's going to be vanilla on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on our defense, I just want to see how quickly we can react to that.
Right.
That's the thing that I am looking forward to seeing most.
Right. Well,
and to see Peyton Manning against some of your corners. I want to see this battle.
That's
going to be epic, dude.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be really fun.
Arguably the best offensive quarterback and receivers that we have in the Broncos against arguably the best secondary in the league. You
sure.
Know?
Sure.
I think it's going to be awesome.
That'll be a fun battle.
I cannot wait to see. That's actually, you know, that's pretty good. I can't wait to see our first teams go at it, man. I cannot wait for this first quarter.
Yeah. it'll be really interesting. I have an idea of where I think you guys will attack, you know, through the air. If it were me, in the way that I've kind of seen the Seahawks shake out, I would attack our linebacking core and pass coverage if I were you guys.
Yeah.
I see a lot of little wheel routes. I see a lot of little hitches. I see a lot of, you know, shallow crosses. Things, you know, Julius Thomas could have a big game.
Julius Thomas could?
And
my contradictive question, I suppose, if that's even a fucking word.
Huh? Would be contradictive.
So I know that we should, what areas we should target and try and exploit. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, with the Seahawks, it's a matter of what plays we want to run, see what we can do. You know, I think if we want to try some outside stuff, it really doesn't matter how good your corners are. We're just going to give it a shot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just kind of that sort of thing. But, yeah, if we're looking for a weakness, that would probably be it.
Yeah.
I mean, matchup standpoint.
I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning doesn't fear anybody in pass coverage.
I don't think he does either.
No.
Especially with Demaryius Thomas out there on the side.
Sherman Demaryius?
That's a good battle,
That's
man.
That's going to be fun to watch right there.
Oh, and then Browner and Eric Decker would probably be going at it.
I would imagine so.
A full-time matchup.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm really going to look forward to later on if we do play in the Super Bowl is watching Chris Harris against Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
In the slot, man. Yeah. That'll be – you know, these two teams are just matched up. It's a ridiculous matchup.
Both loaded.
Pretty loaded. Both different, you know, different offensive styles with very high tempo.
Yeah.
Both equally amount of weapons. I think it's just going to be so much fun to even watch in a preseason game.
It should be fun. I will point out one fact that we are current champions after beating you guys last year in the preseason.
What was it, 23-22 or some bullshit?
Doesn't matter. Russell Wilson threw 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns. Bam. That was his coming out party.
That was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, you knew after that game. Yeah. But one thing that is kind of cool that you had pointed out to me last year was – both of our coaching staffs work pretty closely together going into the preseason games that we play against one another so that we understand what we're going to do against one another, what things we want to work on, both teams.
And yeah, they communicate really well.
I think that's very cool.
How long are you going to play your starters? You know,
sure.
And they just kind of come to a compromise. And I think it helps just having that you guys were in our division. We know a lot about you. I mean, we've been in contact obviously up until now.
Sure.
You know, playing you guys in the preseason is just a benefit for both of our squads.
Yeah.
So.
And somehow we got over the fact that you wouldn't let Peyton Manning get on a plane to come and even visit Seattle. So
that he was going with plan one, man, plan A.
Yeah, well, we ended up with plan round three, and I'm real happy with
it. Sounds like a good plan, though.
It's 1A now. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This preseason game is gonna be a lot of fun. I'm a little concerned with our backups in the offensive line, and I think that's probably where you guys will really start to push in the game.
You know, one thing I truly hope for is when we went to the game last year, our friend Brandon, who's been on the podcast, will be on maybe not the next one, but the one after. Because we're going to have a Broncos guest next podcast. We'll get to that here just before the break. But hopefully Brandon can get us back down on the field.
That was awesome.
Even for just 5 minutes before this game. Because...
not that we're putting any pressure or anything, you know. It was an awesome gift. It was an awesome gift, man.
Oh, by far. This is just if the stars aligned and everything worked out perfectly.
It'd be cool.
If we could get down on the sideline for this one, I would really like that because it was a trip seeing the Seahawks players up close like that. I would really love it if you could get down that close to the Broncos players.
It would be awesome.
Although, if we could get to the stadium early like we did last time, where the staff let us just walk around on the bottom concourse there, you know,
I would imagine in a preseason game they wouldn't have any problems. So we'll be able to get pretty close anyways,
yeah.
I think.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So
we'll send pictures, everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So that pretty much kind of wraps up what you're looking for here.
You know, that is pretty much it. Not a lot of news happening right now except for Chris Cooper and his injury update. You know, Ryan Clady's coming back. But yeah, other than that, I can't really wait until we get to go over and see this game and then talk about what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like.
Awesome.
That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, folks, what we're going to do here from the game, I'm sure Jared's going to bring his smartphone. I don't do his smartphone because I'm not smart enough to run one. But we're going to...
I have the dumbest smartphone in the world and I don't even know how to operate it, but we'll get it done.
We're going to figure it out. But with that said, look us up on Facebook, A Flock of Donkeys, and we're going to put some posts up during the game just with a few of our thoughts.
Yeah.
Just a quick sentence here or there.
Check it
out. Another thing that I'd really like folks to do is just shoot us an email with anything that you might want us to look for in this game from either the Seahawks or the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, I'll pay attention to whatever, and I'm going to try and not be drunk by the time I get there.
Well, try and will are two different things, but, you know, that's afodpodcast@gmail.com, afodpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. Or you can call, and like always, leave us a rant, 406-823-0307, and do that for us. So, folks, I think we're going to wrap up the Donkey Spit segment with that. Stay tuned. We're coming right back here with the beer review.
Beer and Hawks.
Booyah. Back, everybody. It's time for the beer review, which I think has become the consensus number one segment on the podcast.
I think so.
All right, good. I'm glad you agreed. I thought you were going to go contrarian on that one.
Well, I did, you know, think about going with the Broncos, but I was like, all right, we can agree on this.
But for
it's
once,
not so bad for us to agree.
But for once, you decided not to be a dick, and I appreciate that. That's good.
Yeah, don't expect this in the future.
So I won't. I understand the aberration that just occurred there. So what we're drinking today, folks, is the Salmon Fly Honey Rye from Madison River Brewing Company. These folks are out of Belgrade, Montana. Mm-hmm. This is good shit.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people who are listening to this will probably be familiar with the Madison River. It's a huge fly fishing mecca. You know, the trout are great.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very historical place, actually. It's kind of the Garden of Eden for fishing. But it's really close to that, and that's kind of what it's named after, really close to Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah.
It is such good beer, though.
It's good beer. This is obviously made with rye, and they talk about the subtle spiciness of the rye that's in it.
They have a couple of beers that they do with rye. We'll get to the other one probably at some point.
Right. And but they also add, you know, a fair amount of hops to it, apparently, to balance it out. And then they also use Montana honey in mm-hmm. the brewing of the beer. Now, I like this beer as a summer beer a lot. One of the more popular beers here in Montana for the summer is Big Sky Brewing's Summer Honey. I think this blows Summer Honey out of the water.
I think it's awesome, and I like it as a late summer beer because, you know, it's a rye, and so typically you correlate that with the harvest season when you're harvesting rye and then the honey's coming around. Another reason I like this beer is because they do use enough hops to kind of counteract the honey, so there's enough bitterness to kind of make it so it's not too sweet. Yeah. I really like the beer,
man. It's well balanced. It's probably the best way that I could put it.
One of the better beers for the summertime, I
agree. Yeah, 5.6% in alcohol content, you know, so it's not stiff, but it's not bad.
Yeah, and on a hot summer day, you don't want anything too stiff because you're probably going to want to drink a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just maybe me.
I mean, that's me too. I'm not going to lie. Me and my liver are on the same page with that. Yeah. But this is one of those beers that chicas tend to like, you know? So
yeah, it's a nice, easy beer to drink.
Yeah, too. so that's good. It's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Your girlfriends will like it.
Yeah, exactly. And that way she doesn't get mad at you and you might get late at the end of the night. So that's
or not, but at that point it's a you problem.
Well, if you're in a committed relationship, then it's probably not.
You're probably not.
Probably not. Maybe if it's your special night once every 2 weeks, you're lucky.
If you're in a committed relationship, beer just makes you tired at this point anyway.
Oh, yeah. And maybe just slightly less bitter towards the other person, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of kidding. I know a lot of cool couples. Yeah, we're just razzing. Yeah, that's fine.
But if you're married, it's probably once a month when you finally get that special night. So
if you're lucky.
Yeah.
The quiver in your voice just said it all.
Yeah, well, I did that marriage thing once. I know how that goes. So
you did.
Yeah. So the Salmon Fly Honey Rye, it might get you laid with that special someone, or it might not. You might just go to bed, but at least you go to bed happy.
I think it ups your chances.
Yeah,
and you're drinking a good beer, so it's a plus.
This beer makes me look better.
This beer. All beer makes me look better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyways, folks, I think that wraps up our beer review here. Stick around because it is Chicken Scratch next.
There we go.
All righty. Welcome back, everybody. Time for some Chicken Scratch. I'm fired up for this today
because sure
I have
are.
Actual game tape to talk about. And by tape, I mean rewinding it on YouTube. But
we got whatever NFL pass that is this year, so we'll be able to watch all these games and rewind.
Yeah,
so
it'll NFL be kinda nice. Game rewind. And
that's right.
Now, unfortunately, it does not give you the preseason games, but I did go back and check out its features for last season. It gives you like 5 seasons back that you can watch every
that's
single
impressive.
Game.
And we still got our preseason games on YouTube, so we were able to go back and watch them anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, you can watch the full game, like the full broadcast. You can watch the condensed version, which is play.
Yep.
Or most games, they have the all 22 cam as well. So we're going to know shit when regular season comes.
And you know,
around.
If you guys want to rewatch these games, it's NFL Game Rewind.
Correct.
You know, it's $40 and you can watch any team, any game you want to this season or regular season or
not
like
live.
You said, the past 5 weeks back. So if you missed the game, you know, life happens. We all understand that. Go yeah. back and watch the games, man. It's a good, it's solid way. $40 for the season, not bad.
Yeah, oh, it's pretty great. So, yeah. Like I said, we couldn't find it on the NFL Rewind, but we did find it on YouTube to rewatch.
Yeah, so preseason games on, not on the Rewind. You can get those on YouTube to watch those.
So I went back and rewatched the Seahawks Chargers game. You know, it was an interesting game. There were some things that stood out to me that had, you know, a few areas of concern and obviously some bright spots as well. Being that I'm a Debbie Downer, I kind of want to start out with a few of my areas of concern. In the number one, and I haven't heard anybody
bad
else.
Bad news first.
Yeah, exactly. I love ending on a good note. So the thing that really bothered me, and I haven't heard anybody else really talk about this, is the way that Ryan Matthews just ran it down our throat. They just jellied it. Because, I don't know, a lot of people don't understand that reference. And I heard this joke in
yeah,
Las Vegas.
Get this out there.
Yeah, this needs to be said. So I'm in Las Vegas after a whole night of drinking with the girlfriend, end up at a Denny's, and we were just thrilled to be at a Denny's.
Ex-girlfriend. Can I just make that clear? Is your ex-girlfriend?
Oh, girlfriend at the time. Okay, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. yeah. And we're sitting there. I'm just happy. Yeah, right? I'm just happy to get my moons over my hammy, and I hear these two Jersey guys at the table next to us, and the guy looks at the other one, and they're waiting for the cops to show up because a hooker had ripped him off. And the one guy looks the other, and he goes, "You know the difference between jelly and jam, right?" The other guy says, "Nuh-uh." Says, "I can't jelly my cock down your throat." I swear to God, that's my number one Vegas
memory. That's quality.
Yeah. So, Ryan Matthews jellied it right down our throats, right up the middle. And that was the problem that we had last year.
I was just going to ask you about that. And, you know, and what are you guys going to do to counter this coming up in the season now? What are you guys going to do to address this issue?
Yeah. Well, we didn't have, you know, we weren't at full strength at that point. Yeah. You know, a lot of our guys didn't play. Michael Bennett, I think, will help a little bit with that. I understand he's a little more of a pass rusher, but I think he'll help with that. Jesse Williams, if he didn't flash to me in this game, but that's what he's supposed to help with. So we'll see kind of how that goes.
He had a couple of good plays, you know, a couple of solid things.
Yeah, I think a guy who's really going to help with that, a guy who really flashed to me that nobody really spoke about after the game, is Jay Howard, the defensive tackle out of Florida. And now, he wasn't with the ones on that first drive, I don't believe. But the rest of the game, when he played very solidly. And I think the difference in his game this year is going to be the fact that we brought in Dan Quinn, his defensive coordinator with Florida, his last year.
That's right. So it's a guy who already knows his strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
And play towards that.
Right. So I think that's going to help with that. I also think the fact that Bobby Wagner wasn't in the game and we had a converted running back playing middle linebacker.
However, Bradford, that's the dude, right?
Yeah.
I thought he played pretty well, though.
He had some ups and downs. He played better as the game went on.
Yeah, and for a guy learning the position still.
Yeah. I mean, as a, you know, on that first drive, he really struggled in pass defense.
Yeah.
More than anything, that's who Phillip Rivers picked on, like pretty much that entire drive.
But that's one of the harder things for a linebacker to acclimate to.
Should
in
be the last thing
game.
He learns. Yes.
And, you know, I've known you long enough to know that you'll jump on dudes' cases if they're not performing right away. You kind of have a history of doing this.
So, when it comes to my football team, patience might not be my largest
this
virtue.
This is a dude who is disappointed with Bruce Irvin's, what, eight and a half sacks or 10, whatever the hell it was last year.
It was
year.
Eight, and I mean.
Yeah, he just. Yeah, whatever, dude. He's a fucking rookie. Give him a break, man. This is a guy learning from the running back position. I thought he played well against the run, which you expect him to as a running back.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe give him a half a season.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually not. I'm not going to get too down on Alan Bradford just after one preseason game. I thought he did lead the team in tackles for the game. He had 8 tackles for the game.
He should have more.
I thought he played a solid game. Needs to work on his pass coverage, though. That's the thing that I came away with.
Yep.
And I would expect that.
Like, so we both have that concern for our teams at this point.
Yeah, and that's where in pass coverage we struggled the most last year was in our linebacking core because we have young linebackers. So that's something to keep an eye on as we progress on. Like I spoke about in Donkey Spit earlier was that I think that's something that I feel like you guys could exploit in the next preseason game. And it'll be interesting to see how we do with that. I would imagine Bobby Wagner is going to play in the next game. And I would imagine Bruce Irvin will play in the next game. And, you know, we're trying him at strong side linebacker, so we'll see.
I think a thing that's nice for you guys, though, in that linebacker spot, maybe you're having a little trouble with coverage, but these are guys you drafted. They're young. They're still in development.
Sure.
And so if it was just a minor concern at this point, you know, just think of how much they can improve on that.
You
know,
oh,
a lot
yeah.
Of, a lot of players don't get enough time to develop in this league, but the ones who do are usually the ones who end up being really good.
Yeah, we're playing vanilla schemes and all that at that point. I'm not super worried, but that the way they just kind of ran it right up the gut on us, that bothered me.
It's tough.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Maybe you guys did the same thing as us. Maybe you had a few jitters. You were just over-pursuing because you were too excited.
That could be a part of it.
Yeah.
We did end up stopping them. They kick a field goal. Fine. Mm-hmm.
Don't break, man. I'll take that any day.
Yeah. So, overall, first unit defense looked pretty good. Not great, but they looked pretty good. First unit offense, though, we struggled a little bit there. And, part of it is Marshawn Lynch came in and played his one token play.
One and done, man.
One and done.
It was
nice
like a play-action block.
Yeah.
That's all he did. Yeah. And then they just see him on the sideline just standing there fucking happy.
Just smiling. But that did give us a good look at Kristen Michael, who overall had a good game. But he really didn't start being super productive until the second half when he's up against the twos and threes. Mm-hmm. Against the ones, he didn't really break a lot. He had a nice spin move just to get 2 or 3 yards on that first series.
Right. One thing, though, I know you say he was only going against the twos and threes, but, to kind of counter that maybe a little bit, and this all depends on the depth of your team, he was also only playing with the twos and the threes.
Well,
so I think the playing field was level, so I think he still did improve as the game
in the
went
second
on
half.
A little bit,
yeah. I mean, he did play with the ones in the first half.
Yeah.
The passing game obviously struggled. Wilson went 2 for 6, but there was no Sidney Rice, and no Zach Miller. I think those things were huge. Luke Wilson really struggled to me. He didn't look strong in blocking, never really got any separation. I think this is a guy that has track speed, but I don't think he has football speed.
And they sure talked about him a lot during the game, too.
They did. I don't like Luke Wilson.
A little worried, maybe just a little bit,
I don't know. He was a fifth round pick or something like that. So if you whiff on him, you whiff on him.
But he also is still just a rookie. This is his first live action,
He didn't produce.
Just slow your roll.
But he just, nothing in camp has impressed me about him. I don't know. I'm just not big on this guy.
This is kind of maybe a wait and see for you, if it doesn't, whatever. But who are you going to get that's better right now?
I put Sean McGrath in there over him right now.
Okay.
Easily. Hell, there's going to be a lot of tight ends that are going to be available.
There's going to be a lot of guys being cut.
When people make their roster cuts. Mm-hmm. And I would look for us to take somebody in at that point.
It'd be hard to imagine a tight end wouldn't want to play for your style of offense.
Right.
Russell Wilson's going to use the crap out of the tight end if he's got a good one.
Russell didn't look super sharp. Missed a couple guys high. And that's where he tends to miss when he does miss is he misses high.
Yeah, whoops, he's got too much of a cannon.
I think maybe part of that has to do with the height. And, I think... if you're a little shorter, think about the trajectory on the ball.
Your trajectory is different.
It's a hair different.
Not
that I think
word.
It's huge. He'll $5 word. He'll come back. He'll be fine with that. He'll bring it back down. I'm not too worried. But he made a couple real nice scrambles doing Russell Wilson things.
That's what he does, man. He just picked up. I thought he picked up right where he left off last year.
Yeah.
I think he's the same Russell Wilson, but I think he's going to be a little better in the pocket. I think he's going to read defenses a little bit quicker this year.
Yeah.
He started out 2 of 6, but look at how many games where a quarterback may start out like that.
Yeah. I think offensive line, we struggled a little bit in this game in the first unit, especially the right side of the line. Mm-hmm. Ended up giving a lot of pressure.
Is that the mafia side?
That's the mafia side, yeah. But, Giacomini did, what Giacomini does. Sweezy, still struggles a little bit in pass protection when it comes to technique. From all accounts, he fires off the ball almost every single time as if it's a run play rather than on a pass play, popping back, having a nice kick, that sort of thing. He'll get better. I still hope that Moffitt ends up being our starting right guard. Mm-hmm. I know I'm in the minority on that, but that's really where I'm going with that. As far as the left side of the line, McQuiston looked fine. Okun looked fine. We also didn't have Max Unger in this game.
That's true.
So I think that's part of it. I'm not worried about the offense in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and you should be. Even if your offensive line is going to have a couple of breakdowns, as you saw in that game, Russell's ability to scramble and still keep his eyes downfield, that's what really impressed me about it. If you guys have some breakdowns in your offensive line protections, it's not as big of a deal as it is for somebody who doesn't have a mobile quarterback. Like for me, patching together an offensive line is almost catastrophic.
Paramount.
For you, fuck it. Russell will just run.
He'll do Russell things. We'll be fine.
So it's less of a concern, I think, on your guys' team. In my opinion, I don't
know. No, I agree with you on that, actually. So that's what stood out to me regarding the first units. Now, you know, after that, you're kind of just looking for individual players to see who's looking good, who's looking bad, you know, those sort of things.
Maybe some roster spots you need to fill.
Yeah. Guys that really stood out to me, number one, and I've been on this bandwagon since the word jumped, since the second they drafted this guy, Jordan Hill. Hill looked really good. It's one of those things on the stat sheet, you're not going to see a lot. He had one tackle. But if you go back and you watch the game, he consistently brought pressure up the middle and actually was fairly stout against the run. Mm-hmm. He gets around guys. He just really does. I've been touting this since the second we drafted him.
Yeah. I got to give you a lot of credit, man. He played awesome. He doesn't get the stats as far as that credit goes, but when you go back and watch that game, he was just disruptive.
He was very disruptive.
That's all I can really explain how he played. He was just disruptive.
And that's what you want your interior guys to be, is just flat disruptive. So I was super impressed with Jordan Hill as well as Jay Howard. You know, as far as other guys on defense that really stood out, you know, some of the obvious ones that people have been talking about are Benson Mayawa, I think is how it goes. Yeah, he's the undrafted free agent out of Idaho. So, you know, that's kind of cool being, you know, from one of our...
Idaho or Samoa?
Idaho, Samoa.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he was in on the quarterback a couple times. You know, I guess only had 1.5 sacks when it was all added up, but...
Oh, yeah, that's just not enough for you, is it? Only...
Oh, no, I thought he had three, watching the game, credited him with 1.5. But,
yeah, he played well.
He played pretty well. I think... It was a little more a product of the pressure we were getting up the middle. And, you know, like I've spoken about in previous podcasts, when you get that pressure up the middle, that allows the quarterback not to step up. That, you know, doesn't
allow him to go outside.
And so he has to hang right where he is. And then your outside guys just, you know, come around the edge and boom, good night.
You know, it's funny with the way the NFL kind of goes because, you know, even a couple of years ago, since it turned into such a passing league, everybody's like, we got to get this outside pass rusher. Well, these offenses started beefing up their interior line. So it's like, well, if you're not going to get a push up the middle, we'll just stay in the pocket, step up, and make the throws.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden the defenses are having to go back and counter this part. So what I love about the NFL is year to year, it's this ongoing chess match. And you see it at every freaking position, at the tight end position.
Sure.
These quarterbacks who can now run.
Yeah.
You know, you're just seeing all sorts of things to try and combat like what you the mentioned others doing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, you mentioned the tight ends and the emergence of the super athletic pass catching tight end. And now we're starting to see those safeties, those big safeties starting to catch up with
who can run and who can thump and also cover. Yeah, yeah. It's
bam bam.
It's fun to watch.
Cam Chancellor comes to mind for that. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. You know, another guy that stood out is John Lutulele. And you know, this guy, he looks a lot like Polamalu out there because of the hair.
Well, that and the way he moves.
He's a missile. Yeah.
He is. He's
now,
just...
he doesn't play safety. He's an outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. I'll be really interested to see his progression through the next few games.
Yeah.
He was impressive.
Just keep a guy on the roster. You keep this guy around.
Yeah.
You almost have to because he's got a nose for the football and he knows the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's got the hair and stuff, but you can compare him to the way he moves and the way he reads an offense, like Troy Polamalu does.
I have a harebrained theory, okay? And it has to do with the hair, okay? And it goes two ways, all right? Number one is,
Theories by Adam Evans.
A harebrained theory. So if I'm a guy like Lutulele, where I'm trying really hard to make an NFL roster, and I need to stand out in some way, somehow, it's a little bit about marketing, too. And so having that hair that flashes through on film every time, that instantly you recognize
him.
You see him. He stands out. He pops to me. And when I was realizing that through the game, I had a counter theory that ran to that. And it was with Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas, he cut off the dreads this year. And I think the reason that he did it was easier to pick him out as a quarterback as you're sitting back there looking at something and be like, I'm not throwing against him. There's the dreads.
That's a good
thing. If you look like everybody else and they have to like actually not just look at the dreads and be like, Earl, and they have to look at the number, process it, and then decide, make a decision, it slows that decision-making process down by a quarter of a second or something
and
like
quarterbacks,
that.
A lot of where they throw and how they throw the football depends on the safeties, how fast those safeties are, how they hit.
Yeah.
So I think knowing what Earl Thomas is capable of as a quarterback to be able to see that, I think you're absolutely right on that, to be honest with you.
That's my harebrained theory.
Could be right.
Yeah.
Could be right.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what stood out of Lutulele for me. ukulele with an L.
Hate ukulele.
Yeah. You don't like Eddie Vedder's ukulele album?
No.
Oh, okay.
God, it's just, it's one of those things where a ukulele every once in a while is great, man. It's awesome, yeah. But
it's a fill-in.
Why the hell did everyone have to start playing it?
I don't know.
Everybody. They're everywhere.
It's rough. It's ukulele. Other guys on defense that stood out was Byron Maxwell, one of the corners. Had one pick, had another one that I think was negated due to a penalty. Yeah. Not on him, but
dude, that one
else.
That he picked off was an impressive interception.
He looked athletic.
Broke on the ball, perfect, good hands.
And in that really stiff cornerback competition, I think he stood out way more than Walter Thurman. Walter Thurman struggled in pass coverage. Yeah. He was constantly a step behind. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just rust. I don't know.
Why do you really think that was? I mean, what do you think the story is?
I'm going to have to continue to watch him through these preseason games, but he underwhelmed me a lot in that game. A lot of people said that, you know, he's still fine. He had that one punt return that everybody's raving about. Come on. It was blocked up really, really well. He didn't make one move until he got to the backup fucking kicker and couldn't make him miss.
And he couldn't juke the backup kicker. However, the backup kicker did turn on the Jets.
Right. Right. You gotta make a backup kicker miss.
Roster or no roster in your deep secondary?
For Thurman?
Yeah. What do you think there?
There's two games to find out.
You just waiting.
You don't
have to make a prediction. I mean, a lot depends on
how he progresses.
Okay.
I'm not ready. Because based on his previous game action, you know, over the last couple of years, I would say make it. Based on this game and the way he's looked in camp, I'd say not make it. So
the way you said I'm ready, it's almost like you just had a flashback to a chick saying, but I really like you and I want to further this. That really rolled off your tongue right there like you'd done it before.
Done that. Right. Done that?
Yeah. I just heard that. I was like, man, I think I've said that before.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm not ready. Urch. Yeah, that's
okay,
welcome to high school. Yeah, Thurman didn't look great to me.
Who else?
You know, on defense, those are the guys that I really wanted to touch on. Looking on the offensive side of the ball, guys that, you know, really stood out to me. Number one, obviously, would be T-Jack. He had a fantastic game.
God, he threw some balls with some touch, man.
Against the threes, and that's fine.
He looked all right, though.
I've always thought, since we signed T-Jack, that him being the backup quarterback was a foregone conclusion. This QB battle between Brady Quinn and him, whatever.
Brady Quinn sucked nuts.
He didn't look good. I know he had the one touchdown pass.
The one.
Yeah, but he missed the one the previous snap.
Dude, he'll have a good throw or two in a game, but the rest of them are just going to be shit. We've seen Brady Quinn do this for how many years now?
He's just not accurate. So I like T-Jack in that. I'm not going to go a lot into T-Jack, but I'm glad to see him play well.
What a quality backup.
The other guy that really stood out to me, obviously, was Steven Williams with a couple of long bombs that he caught there from T-Jack. Again, against the threes. I want to see him further in camp. Jermaine Kearse looked really good. Chop, chop. The other white meat. I like him a lot.
You guys do have what seems to be like some nice surprises coming up in your
season. So Jermaine Kearse, I really like to see, you know, the way that his game has progressed. One of the guys that really stood out to me, and nobody said a word about him, is Derek Coleman, the backup fullback.
Oh, man, what a joy that dude was to watch.
Dude, this guy straight made plays. And
how many times did we say, man, was that him again?
A bunch of times. He had a huge block, just a thundering block on the Spencer Ware touchdown run.
Yep.
The ensuing kickoff.
That block, though, was impressive. I mean, that's all you can do in a fullback. Didn't give up any ground, picked up the right guy. What a read, man. It's just perfect.
It was perfect. On the ensuing kickoff, he's on kick coverage. He goes out, made a huge tackle on that. He had a big third and short pickup. He also made the last TD reception of the game
That's right. A play that typically goes to Mike Robb, right?
Yeah. That same little fullback in the flat action. I think Spencer Ware is going to have a really difficult time making this roster unless it's, say, practice squad. Derek Coleman thoroughly outplayed him.
Big time. There wasn't a thing he did wrong. And he kept getting his name called out there.
Yeah.
He played great, man.
I think he only had the one carry, but even with that, man, I was
He didn't miss a block.
Yeah.
He's got hands for a fullback. You know what looked like hands? I know it was only one reception, but it was...
I think he had three, actually.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one guy. They didn't really mention him very much except for, well, that was Coleman on the tackle or on the reception, you know. But they didn't talk in depth about him a lot, but, yeah, he impressed me big time.
Yeah. So that kind of was what stood out to me during the preseason game, you know, just looking at this one. Coming into this next one, you know, since we're going to be there on the sidelines, it's going to be, you know, a little harder to see some things and maybe easier to see others. But
yeah, we'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to watch it again. I want to see how our receivers match up against an elite secondary. That's gonna be something that
I think
we're
both wanting to see that on both sides of the ball.
I hope Sydney plays a little bit.
That would be nice.
That'll be interesting.
Want to see Marshawn carry the ball once.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need to see Marshawn.
I don't know if he will though. Do you think he will until like maybe the last preseason game?
No, and he doesn't need to.
I don't think he will either.
Let's just hold on to beast mode so he can come out and do beast mode things when it actually counts.
He doesn't need an off season.
No. That guy popped out of the womb ready to carry the ball and run over a linebacker. Okay? Like he doesn't need time to like get acclimated in the preseason and work on his timing. Bullshit.
Yeah, you know, he's just one of those funnier football personalities. Can't help but laugh when you see him. You know, it's like he just doesn't give a shit when he's on the sidelines, but once he's in the game, you can't even see his face or his expressions, but man, he's just dialed in.
He's awesome. So that will be interesting to see, you know, maybe Christian Michael up against, you know, your guys' first team, D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that has me concerned at left guard a little bit is the fact that, you know, we're probably going to have to go with Paul McQuiston, which is fine. But it's Carpenter, because Carpenter got injured again in training camp this last week. He didn't play in the last preseason game.
What did he injure this time?
Hurt his foot. It's another freaking injury. Now, this is what? You're three of this?
Mm-hmm.
You're four of this?
Yeah.
I'm done.
Doesn't it kind of depend on how much value you got in this guy and what you think
he can do? It's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's tough. Jared, I'm done. I'm done with Carpenter. I'm done relying on it. I'm done hoping for
Adam's done.
I'm done. And he is the Greg Oden of left guards.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's over. This guy's
your guys' patience has got to be about run out with him.
This guy's never going to have a productive season for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now. And it pains me to say it. I had high hopes for him even coming into this year. But with this injury that's unrelated to the knee injury, just another goddamn thing. This guy can't stay on the field. Health is a part of talent, and he doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it.
So
he's not a talented guy.
We're going to have to watch in this next game who they put in with that second line at left guard. I'm interested to see where that kind of goes. But at this point, it's going to be McHugh, Paul McQuiston.
I also want to see how you guys are able to run the ball against our defensive front. Because, you know, the Niners didn't even get it up the middle. You know, after
I don't think anybody in the Niners can get it up.
But, I mean, with Terrence Knight in the middle and Vickerson, we're just huge there. And so that was, I think, going to be one of the strengths of our defense. I'm curious to see how you guys can run the ball against those guys.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
It's probably not going to happen, but we'll see.
That's what you think. I don't know. I mean, without Beast, it's tough to tell what our actual running game is going to look like. I mean, going back and watching a few games from this last season, one thing that really, really stood out, especially when you watch the condensed version, it's play, 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 play. And you watch a couple games in a row, Beast Mode keeps our offense on schedule because it's 3 to 4 yards a pop almost every time. Even if he's stuffed, he's going to churn those legs. He's going to fall forward, and it's 3 to 4 yards.
You never have a negative plays.
I never
have a negative plays.
Yeah, eat that.
It's finally not happened.
So, it'll be hard to say what our run game's going to look like because I don't think we'll see a lot of Beast.
Basically, at this point, with all the running that you guys do in this preseason, you're just kind of looking to see who's going to compliment him the best.
Yeah. Oh, Turbo's back. So we'll see.
Who's going to be Robin to the Batman kind of thing.
Yeah, Robert Turbin's back, so we'll get to see a little bit of him.
Turbinator.
He's one of my favorites.
He's going to be good, too.
So I'll be really interested to see how he performs. He'll probably be playing against the ones, would be my guess on that there. That's kind of what I'm looking for in the preseason game.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Jared,
I don't know if there's anything else to talk about.
I don't think so, because with that said, there's only one other thing to say. In John's we trust.